Okay, item 16, consider and take possible action on Aether investments. Issues that have come up that I think were discussed at last meeting slightly, but Tim has looked into it further.
Yeah. Aether was approved for a $75 million allocation back in May for the private real assets program. This is a private equity fund of funds that invests in real assets. The motion was made subject to conducting an operational due diligence review. That operational due diligence review was completed about 2 weeks ago. We had the preliminary results from that, and we have Aether's response. There were six issues that arose, most of which were the firm was able to address pretty easily. There were changes to processes, changes to controls, that sort of thing. The one issue that couldn't be addressed immediately was Kreischer Miller, the operational due diligence folks, identified that Stone Pine is the Aether's third-party fund administrator, does not have what's called the SSAE 16. It's what used to be referred to as a SAS 70. Think of it as an internal control review by an outside party. It looks at controls that the fund administrator would have in place in terms of cash flows, in terms of calculation of fees, that sort of thing. So Kreischer Miller identified this as an issue. There was an on-site with Aether last Monday, and we explored the issues with Aether in depth. They were responsive to everything. I think we came away with a deeper understanding of the investment process, but there was this issue on the operations. Quite frankly, it's a new issue. It's not an issue we've explored in the past because we haven't had an operational due diligence in the past. And so it came up. It was an immediate concern to me, I think to the board members, to Marilyn, to Milliman, and we spent some time building some context around it because I think that's what we didn't have when we conducted the on-site review was what was the context. It sounds like a major issue, but we don't have a context. So we went back and talked to a number of our existing private equity managers or private fund managers that use outside fund administrators. And I think we got a majority of responses back that their fund administrators do have the SSAE 16, but it was not universal.
Adam Street?
Adam Street does it internally.
They do it internally?
Yeah. So this would be folks who use an outside fund administrator are usually going to be a little bit smaller. Adam Street and Pathway, I believe, both do it internally.
Okay.
So one of the responses that we did hear on a number of occasions was this is something, this meaning the SSAE 16 review, is more commonly required of hedge fund administrators than of private equity administrators because the volumes of transactions that the administrator is booking. With a hedge fund, it's liquid, they're trading on a daily basis, there's lots of people involved, cash flow controls are critical. With private equity, a commitment is made, capital is drawn down, it's held for 3 to 7 years, and then returned. It just doesn't have the same volume associated with it. I did also speak with Stone Pine's other major client, which is Hamilton Lane. I got a very strong recommendation from their chief financial officer that Stone Pine's processes were solid. They've worked with them since 1997. Quite frankly, he said they work with four outside fund administrators. Stone Pine is the best, in their opinion. I also did a quick survey of other SACRs systems, of the CIOs there, how critical they felt this was. And I think the feedback there was it's a good to have. The SSAE 16 is good to have for a fund administrator, but if there's a mitigating factor, if the auditor is particularly strong, and the auditor in this case is Ernst & Young that Aether uses, if the private equity fund does what's called shadowing, keeps their own independent set of books and records and does a reconciliation, those are mitigating factors that probably move you past the critical nature of having this review in place. Aether has received our feedback. They have offered not full shadowing, not to keep a full set of books and records, but to do a journal entry reviews at the fund level. And we've been in touch with Kreischer Miller asking them, you know, is this progress? And the response was, yes, it's progress. Is it where they want to be best in class, to be perfect? Probably not, but it's definitely, Aether is being responsive and making progress in that direction. So the question back to the board at this point is, this is information you as a board did not have when you approved the investment back in May. We've discovered this. It's not something we've normally asked. It's not something we've ever asked in the past. This was additional levels of due diligence that we engaged in. I think the context that's been built over the past week was this is a good-to-have thing. It's perhaps not critical, but it's definitely, we would like to see progress in that direction. And the question before the board is, are you comfortable moving forward with the commitment that was made? Would you like to modify or would you like to rescind?
Karen, I don't think he has the answer.
Your recommendation. I mean, that's what you're leaving it to us, and I appreciate that. Yeah. Based on what you said out of context, and you've done some further investigation, it sounds like it would be okay to continue. So if we chose not to, what we'd have to go through this process again of where to put it and
sure.
Do recommendations. I mean, what happens if we don't, if we withdraw this?
Yeah, let me walk you through the scenario if we withdraw. Right now, this was one of two private real asset mandates that we approved. We approved Common Fund and Aether. Common Fund is signed, documented. They've done a capital call. That's up and running. Aether obviously is not. If the board opts to rescind the allocation to Aether, we've got a couple of options. We could go back to the folks who are identified in the semifinalist report that Milliman conducted, folks who just barely missed the cutoff, or the board opted to pass and take another look. We can have Milliman review firms that perhaps were a little too new at the time, and you know, with the passage of time, are they now in a better position to be considered? And quite frankly, we can hold off on building out this portion of the asset allocation for a period of time as well. There's nothing critical here. We currently have the assets held in the public market portion with Wellington. They are invested. It's not like this is being held in cash. They are invested. But there are types, there are asset classes that are only available in private structures, and timber and agriculture and a lot of the true commodity exposures are really only purely accessed in the private market. So we'd miss out on some of that, but we'd still be getting some public market exposure.
Do you remember who the we did common fund and this, who was the third one and the fourth?
It was there was only a third, and that was BlackRock that presented.
That was BlackRock.
BlackRock presented to the board. There was, I believe, I'd have to go back and look at this, but I think there was five or six that Milliman brought forward as semifinalist candidates.
Okay, Marilyn.
The reason we brought this back to the board at this point is the close is when?
The close is November 22nd.
Now, to me, there is a split decision here. You could continue with the $25 million in the fund. The board, is that how much we didn't also authorized some into the surplus fund? So this could be kind of a split decision if you wanted. The problem is the main fund is closing in November.
Both funds.
Even the surplus fund.
Even the surplus
okay,
fund.
I'm sorry.
John? My inclination personally is that we should go ahead, but I would also comment that SAS 70 has been around, that's how I got used to calling it, for data management firms for a lot of years, and any firm in the data management business, which is what we're talking about here, not having one is surprising.
Yeah, I think, let me answer that, because I was on the site visit, and actually we did a call with the firm that's handling the administration. They are also a CPA firm.
Is that right?
So I think that in their world, they viewed it as, well, we send all of our people to their required CPA education, and we have our peer review audit every year or every 3 years. And I think they just weren't viewing themselves. They viewed themselves as a CPA firm and that they were just providing CPA services. Now, I kind of went through, you know, what is SSAE 16? What is it that it requires? And, you know, what we're really talking about is a SOC 1 report or some version thereof going up. That's what's required by that. In going through and comparing the services that these folks are providing to Aether, there's only just a few additional services that they're providing besides really bookkeeping. So there, it's a CPA firm that's kind of providing bookkeeping, and there's a few additional things, but they seem to be things that Aether was mirroring in-house as well. And so grand scheme of things, you know, I looked at and I talked to the people, I was a little surprised just initially, because this is the first site visit I had been on with a really small firm. They are very small. Literally seven people.
Soon to be seven.
Including the new intern coming in next month, right? And so I was very shocked by that at first, but then as I started to listen to what they do and the type of investment it is, it's private equity. They're a fund of private equity funds. So as Tim said, there's not a lot of transactions to this. They pick a private equity fund, they do the capital calls over a period of time, and that's it. And then they watch the investment, they do their due diligence on a regular basis. But there's just not a lot of dollar transactions like we would see in a stock firm.
Jerry, then Richard.
I've got to say, this makes me a little bit nervous because we come up with a process that we call due diligence.
Right.
We have a punch list, basically. Check marks have to be put in boxes. And what we're saying now is we found out new information, I understand, that one of these check marks can't be put in that box. But
I think this is a new check box.
Okay, yeah. Even if it's a new check box, then basically it's something, you know, we're going to maybe conceivably say, maybe it's not important after all, or maybe it's not such a big deal. It sounds as if we're squeezing through the rabbit hole here, you know. It's a little bit like getting a plane certified, and you tell the FAA, well, I realize one or two of the seats don't have seat belts, but we don't crash very often, so we don't think it's going to be much of a problem. And they say, yep, okay, then go ahead with a couple of seat belts not there. It makes me nervous.
Jerry, I'd comment, at least in direct experience, for my old firm used... Blue Cross did our claims management work. We had another firm that Marsh McLennan actually that did our administrative work. They both had SAS 70s, but these were huge data systems.
Right.
Okay, they took in massive amounts of input, output, storage, manipulation, etc. What Debbie just guided, that was very helpful to me, your description. The traditional bookkeeping role, and it doesn't sound like there's much more than that, is really in a different league. SAS 70 is traditionally designed for very big data.
Are we questioning our own criteria?
I'm not sure it will be necessary.
You know, what I'm saying is, are we saying it doesn't need to be on smaller firms?
Well, so this is a new issue that came to us because for the first time we hired a firm to do the due diligence, which we normally do ourselves. And this was never on our own due diligence list. Should it have been? Yeah, maybe that's another agenda item that we should probably discuss. Or maybe it's part of the investment policy. You know, but that's not, it hasn't been a part of our policy up to this point.
So I'm hearing you're comfortable.
I'm okay with it.
I know Richard's going to talk, but I also want to know what Rusty thinks too.
Richard,
well, is that how it works?
No,
Rusty. Okay.
No, I just want to make sure he says something.
You know, if the parties are experts, people that we take counsel from, think it's a good idea to have that, to have such a thing at the client. Or the manager does that, then that's done to protect us. None of these people who suggest this are doing it just to churn business or something. It's actually a protection for us. So is this investment that great that you want to increase your risk? If they don't have it, and it's a good idea that they have it, that at the end of the day it offers us a higher level of protection, lowering risk, is this so darn good? What the hell? We got to do this.
Yep.
I mean, I don't understand. And you know, billions of dollars we have here, and yet, you know, this doesn't have it. I don't really know. I don't sass them. It doesn't mean anything to me. But I'm thinking people tell us this because they're trying to protect us. They're trying to give us tools that already exist for years to protect us in a changing world of investments. And we don't have it. Wow. Maybe we should have it. And if we should have it, then what's so important about this investment? What is so important about this investment? We should increase our risk by 1 millimeter, you know, to do that. Unless this isn't important, then forget it. Let's move forward, okay? But I'm thinking we got maybe a more in-depth due diligence, operational due diligence, which, by God, that's a good idea. Okay, and here's what they popped up right off. And yet, we're kind of discounting it and stuff like that. But it's not a bad idea. And I think it's all brought up to protect ourselves. So I don't see what, and I don't even remember hiring this. Maybe I wasn't there. But, you know, I don't want to increase risk for such a small amount. They'll get it. There'll be other funds. I don't understand the logic of why we're trying to work around such a small thing. It's a really small thing, but why work around it? If it's just not, if it's a good idea to have it, let's have it. And Aether learned something, okay? They learned something too. So, but why go around it? If it's a good idea, let's put it in there and always have it, man. It's just to protect us, or... not to protect us, it's to protect the fund. That's what it's about.
So can I ask you something? We did some inquiry of Hamilton Lane, which, were they not one of the other competitors in this space?
They're a private equity fund of funds manager, not directly in the real asset space. They would be more akin to a Pathway or Adam Street.
Okay, but I think we have had proposal from them on something.
They were included in the semifinals report for the last private equity search, yes.
Right, so when you talked with them, had they actually, they do their work internally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had they actually done SOC 1, SOC 2 reports internally?
I don't know the answer to that.
So I ask that question because I contrast many of our fund managers are doing this work internally. They're not outsourcing it. We're not holding the ones doing it internally to this standard, although I would say that maybe some of them have actually gone through this SOC reporting process, but a lot of them haven't. And so I think, you know, I think this is an issue that we need to explore further before we say every single before we put a criteria in place for our managers. It's worthwhile exploring for all the reasons that Richard just stated, but I think in this case we may be kind of selectively applying a principle that maybe other managers don't have in place.
Rusty?
Good.
It's your decision.
Yeah? Sorry, no, it's not my decision. But my feeling.
Rusty do.
Well, what Rusty did.
When we walked away from it, there were some reservations because there were new things that none of us had experienced before in this space.
Yeah.
And so it was an education on our part. But having now thought through it and considered, again, other factors that Tim had looked into, I think they're a safe bet. I don't think they're a high risk. I think that their administrator is working on the SSEEA 16. They are going to complete it, just not before we commit our money. But then again, this is a 12-year commitment. It's not just for 2 or 3 years, it's for a long time. And the money will be invested over the next 2 or 3 years. Is that correct, Tim?
That's correct, yeah.
And but their performance record, one reason why we selected them is because of their performance record. They do a great job. They have a strong source finding for good deals out there, and more so than what we saw the competitors have. I was a little shocked by the size. I'd never seen a group that small before or young, but then I've learned since that there are many others like that are just as successful and doing fine. So that's kind of put me at ease. But I would support going with them, continuing with the commitment we've made already.
And you did the on-site?
I did.
Karen?
And I know this is a 12-year commitment, but somebody in their firm is going through the process, and I thought it took 12 to 18 months to complete. Is there any way we can put in the contract something that if the staff hasn't completed this in the next 24 months, we can pull our money out, or you don't get to do that? Okay,
no.
I didn't think so, but I thought I needed to ask the question.
What we can do is ask Aether to increase their level of oversight and recalculation of some of the data during the period when their fund administrator does not have the SSAE 16. We can do something like that so that Aether is providing us an additional level of information, but there's not a ready way to unwind this.
And I appreciate, because I do appreciate what Richard said, but, you know, Rusty is responsible for investing a lot of money, too. And
if not like this, though.
Well, true.
The principle
is
he's in safe area.
Yeah, he never takes a risk like this.
You know, if you have a finite amount of money and you want to make it grow, whether it's $10 or $100, you don't want to lose your investment. Yeah. So I don't mean to oversimplify it, but
so I would move that we go ahead and approve the investment.
Confirm the investment.
Stay the course.
Yeah. Did you have something to say?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
And if they're listening, they'll know what we expect of them.
Yeah.
Tim, this is to you. Whenever anything like this pops up, and it happens on an on-site or you get a memo or whatever, I appreciate you bringing it to us mm-hmm. and giving us the opportunity to discuss it and figure it out. And sometimes we may go with what Richard is saying and say, no, I don't care, it's a risk, boom. And or sometimes we may go the other way and say, okay, it's a calculated risk where it's okay, we understand, and you brought that to us to make that decision. So in that respect, I thank you, and I ask that you continue to do that, and I also would support moving on with them.
Can I make one other comment? I think this is a perfect example of why we should always do on-site visits. And the amount of information that we as trustees learn in attending these on-site visits, but as well, each of us has different life experience and career experiences that we contribute different types of questions to this process. So I know there have been some in the past that have criticized the travel of the trustees, but these on-site visits to our potential investment managers and continued...
That's outside, though. It's not inside. It's not us. It's outside that criticizes. You know that.
I understand that. But to continue that, I think, is important to our knowledge as trustees.
Okay. Any more comments on the motion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Richard and Jerry? Abstentions? None. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm going to have to leave by 2:45 for 2 o'clock.
What would you like to do?
Well, I'm looking. We have the... I'd like to make sure we take up, if we could, 12 and 14.
Okay.
Jumping around.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Tim, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
Let's do 12 then. Consider taking possible action on proposed legislation to make Sestera a separate district. Harvey, Karen?
Yeah, I guess this is my show. So you remember we settled our